Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you again to this month's CCSI's GovTech podcast series, number 7, titled Migration to the Cloud. So I'm Larry Biancully. I'm your host for this session. And with me today, we have Joe Goldberg, cloud person extraordinaire. So Joe is our cloud program manager here at CCSI. And who better than Joe to talk to us about the cloud? So Joe, good day. Welcome. And how are you today?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent, Joe. So we got a pretty exciting topic that we want to dig into. We got a lot of lot to cover in 10 or 11 minutes here. So let's just jump in, right? So here we are. We're talking about moving workloads to the cloud. So this has been going on now for several years, for a bunch of years, not just several years. And so we have different levels of expertise, right? We have some customers that are very cloud forward, customers who've migrated hundreds, if not thousands, of workloads and have truly seen both the business aspects and the benefits as well as the technical benefits in that migration. We have other customers that have been more on the fence or more cloud aspirational. And so these are the folks that would probably gain insight from this podcast and what we're going to cover. You know, these are the folks that are trying to, they've come to the point where they understand that there are business benefits and there is a process that they need to do, but where do you start and where do you go, right? So there has to be a tangible plan put in place. But you know, when you look at it, Joe, customer comes up to you and asks, "How do I get started?" What's your number one answer for them?
I think the one of the most important steps is you need to make sure you have executive buy-in. You need to ensure that the management of the organization wants to move their resources to the cloud and that they're going to support you as you go forward. Once you have that, then the next step is to start doing a discovery. Figure out all the applications you have, all the servers, all the infrastructure that supports them, and so that you can then start to put together a plan of what resources you're going to move to the cloud and in what order you're going to move them.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you know, it always starts and stops with executive buy-in, right? I mean, if the executive's not saying, you know, what do we need to do to get there, then, you know, they're probably not going to be long for that job in this day and age, right?
That's true.
So executive buy-in is absolutely key. So once we have executive buy-in, what do we do next, right? You know, some customers will say, you know, do I look at public and do I look at, you know, AWS or do I look at Microsoft? We're already a Microsoft shop in other cases, right? So should we consider Microsoft? Should we look at both? Should we look at private? So how do you respond to that?
I think it's going to depend upon the customer's use case. If they have a requirement to have their data completely separated and segmented, a private cloud provider is going to be a better solution for them. If in a public cloud provider, you're in a shared environment where you have very little control or insight into the back-end infrastructure. So for most people, that's fine. But for certain use cases, that doesn't work. Then you need to look at, you know, what's your use case operating system wise. If you are a large Microsoft shop and you're working off of a volume license, then like a Microsoft Azure can be extremely cost effective as opposed to an AWS or a private cloud provider. That's really what it comes down to.
So is it safe to say in most cases that private would be more expensive than public?
Generally, private is going to be more expensive than public. It's just a purely an economy of scale thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So once we get to that point, then we say maybe hybrid seems to be right or be best, at least to start with. Maybe we choose one and have that as our ultimate plan. How does a customer know that, you know, that the service provider they're considering is right for them?
They need to ensure that the service provider they're picking has the proper SLAs in place. They need to ensure that they have the proper certifications like SOC 2, HIPAA compliance, PCI, CJIS, all of the other big ones that are out there. And they need to make sure that the service provider is going to be able to provide the type of service that they're looking for. Most service providers are pretty much on par with one another, but there are definitely fringe cases where one might have a service where another one doesn't. But most people nowadays are ending up in a hybrid or multi-cloud environment where they might be mixed between a private provider and a public, or a private and two public providers to get full redundancy and the use of maximum use of services.
Mm. What about support, Joe? I mean, I've heard customers say that support has been a surprise in a good way or a bad way.
Probably in a bad way. Support from both AWS and Azure is both costly and not necessarily the highest quality. You definitely want to have a partner to assist you as you go forward. Many private cloud providers do offer very high levels of support, and you're paying for that. So that's definitely something you want to factor into your decision-making process.
So help me stitch this together. Let's continue on with this journey. So we've decided a couple of things so far. Do we just jump in then? What should happen after that?
After that, you need to put together a very detailed plan. You've now done a discovery. You need to decide which applications are going to move to the cloud and which ones are not going to, and what are you going to do them in, and put together a detailed plan as to how you're going to achieve it, with a roadmap and deliverables and objectives, so that without a plan, you're going to not be in a good position.
Mm. Failing to plan is planning to fail.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that what we're saying here? No, I mean, I'm all about it, right? Anybody who knows me, you need to start with a plan. The plan is your breathing document that will ensure success, or without it, will ensure failure. So, once we have that, then, right? You know, how does a company assess the workloads themselves? Any thoughts on, here I am. All right, we've started to stitch together a plan. We stitched together a couple of different key data points, right? So now when we turn around and we look at our company, Acme Inc., and we look at the applications and workloads, thoughts about that?
Well, the easiest thing to do is just do a simple lift and shift. You just pick up the server as it exists in your site and move it to an infrastructure as a service offering in the cloud. But that's not going to give you the greatest benefits of the elasticity and the functionality of the cloud. You need to look at each application and say, this one is best for infrastructure as a service. This one is going to be best for platform as a service. And this service, you know what, I'm going to outsource this whole thing to a software as a service provider, for example, like Office 365 or Salesforce. And then there are some services you might say this application can't run in the cloud for one of any number of reasons. And this application, you know what, we're going to end of life this application. So we're not even going to think about moving it. So you really should be looking at it on an application by application basis and see how best to map it to the available cloud services.
Yeah. You know, I would imagine too, right, every application, that's being considered or migrated to the cloud is in a separate application on its own, right? You know, it'll have connections, to the various applications and systems, right? So I would imagine it's also critical and crucial for architects to really evaluate what the impact might be in migration of those apps, right? And so any color around that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to make sure you have a full understanding of what communicates with what, and you want to build out your cloud infrastructure to facilitate any sort of application interconnectivity. That's one of the biggest advantages of the cloud, is the flexibility it gives you in that sort of connectivity arrangement.
Yeah. So we're building up a good steam here, right? So, we started not really knowing what we wanted to do, and now we're really talking about the interconnections of the apps, right? So here we are. What do we do next, right? We're ready to go, right? So, do we send somebody out for training and let them and turn them loose, or what do we do next?
You definitely, you have to manage your cloud migration as a project. You need to... You need to view it as a living sort of breathing thing. You should be starting out by migrating an application and then testing it. And then once you've tested it, then you can consider going live. And the go live should involve updating your support personnel, updating your documentation. You need to have a good rollback plan. You need to make sure that you've achieved all the objectives you set forth in the initial plan to fully implement the environment.
Yeah, makes sense to me. You know, some type of statement of objective, I guess, would be pretty useful to have prepared, right? Because from that point, then once we're migrated, or we believe we have the migration complete, you know, we want to verify, right? We want to verify the efficiency, you know, of both our procedures and services and so forth. So good information. We covered a lot of ground here in the last 10 minutes, and so I think let's stop there. You know, we haven't even talked about the 800-pound elephant in the room, which is security. And I know there's a lot of concern about security, and there's also a lot of perception and dissuasion when it comes to security, and we can make that another whole podcast at another time. So I'd like to thank Joe for being our subject matter expert for this podcast. So Joe, thanks again for sharing your insight. I know you've done a lot of work with the cloud, and you know, we've just really scratched the surface. But what can you say about how CCSI real quick can help customers who are considering this, and just, you know, what you're working on at CCSI in general?
Well, CCSI is able to help customers in all aspects of their cloud migration, business continuity and disaster recovery, and security. We work off of a services menu where customers can pick and choose what services they're looking for us to assist them with, what level of assistance they're looking for, and which services they're looking to provide for themselves. And we're more than happy to work with customers to provide any level of service that they're looking for throughout the whole life cycle of a cloud migration and also day two support.
Awesome. That's great. Joe, again, thank you for taking time to share your wisdom with our listening audience. And for the folks out there, I'd like to thank you for your time. You know, this is our seventh podcast, so you can find our other recordings at www.ccsinet.com. And again, I'd like to thank you and welcome you to next month's CCSI's Got Tech podcast series. So for now, thank you, and please tune in again next month. This is Larry Biancalli signing off. Take care.